Oh, that was, I didn't know that was coming till this morning, so that fits so well for today, because, you know, in life there's a time to fast, but there's equally a time to feast, and we're in that time. And so, I mean, Christmas time is about celebration. We're going to begin the new year, we're going to fast, we're going to seek the Lord. We're going to call the church to a 21-day fast and prayer time beginning at the first of the year. But we don't want to talk about that today and ruin anybody's good time at all, because it's not proper. I mean, this is the Sunday before we celebrate. Every year we get to anticipate all over again. And whatever your thoughts are about Santa Claus, does teach us how to wonder and anticipate, and teaches us how to be full of expectation of good things. And so with that, just use that. It's the wrong time of the year to be grouchy. It's the wrong time of the year to be holier than thou. It's a wonderful time to be holy, but with great joy. And so this Sunday, the Sunday that we celebrate with great anticipation and joy again, that Christ is coming. I mean, the fact of the matter is we've read the book, so when we go to the movie, we know what's coming next. Come on. And so I just don't think you can go overboard with celebration at Christmas time. We celebrate Christ who is come and is coming again. Now, before we stand for the text this morning, I hope you brought your Bible. We're going to use it a lot this morning. Look at me. Look with me. Don't look at me. Look with me at Ecclesiastes. These are pre-verses. These are warm-up verses this morning. I'm going to be a New Living Translation all morning this morning because it reads well for me, these verses. Ecclesiastes 5, beginning with verse 18, here's what we read. Even so, I have noticed one thing, at least that is good. Isn't that nice? He found one thing, at least, that is good. It is good for people to eat, drink, and enjoy their work under the sun during the short time God has given them, and to accept their lot in life. And it is a good thing to receive wealth from God, and the good health to enjoy it, to enjoy your work and to enjoy your lot in life. This indeed is a gift from God. God keeps such people so busy enjoying life that they take no time to brood over the past. Look at Isaiah chapter 26. I'm going to read a verse to you right now that you're just going to say, how in the world? I never knew something so wonderful was in my Bible. Did I say 26? Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25, verse 6. And again, I'm in New Living. In Jerusalem, the Lord of heaven's armies will spread a wonderful feast for all the people of the world. It will be a delicious banquet with clear, well-aged wine and choice meat. There he will remove the cloud of gloom, the shadow of death that hangs over the earth, and he will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away all tears. He will remove forever all insults and mockery against his land and people. The Lord has spoken. We are in that season where the Lord has spread out for us again this wonderful feast with rich food, with good drink, in the tradition then of the Magi this morning. The tradition of the Magi this morning. we come bearing our gifts. And now you can open up with me in your Bible to Matthew chapter 2. And you can stand together with me as we read from God's Word. Verse 1, Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea. During the reign of King Herod, about the same time, wise men, magi from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it arose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people, Israel." Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him also." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary and bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasure chest, and gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let's pray. Father, we've seen that star which has guided us to the house of the Lord, the house of prayer this morning. We've come to Bethlehem, the house of bread. We've come also, as the magi before us, to worship and to bring gifts. So, Father, help us to celebrate the coming of our Savior and Lord in a fitting way, a way that would help us to remember all year long that Christ has come, that Christ died, that Christ is risen, and that Christ is coming again. Help us to be the distributors of, the spreaders of that joy and peace everywhere we go, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The wise men came to Bethlehem. You know, nothing in this account is happenstance. There's not a detail that is seemingly unimportant here. Bethlehem, the house of bread, is the translation for Bethlehem. Jesus called himself the bread of life. He called himself living bread. He called himself the bread which came down from heaven. So the bread of life was born in the house of bread. And these wise men, probably traveling, there's some dispute whether they were traveling from modern-day Iran or modern-day Iraq, but one or the other, most certainly. And we know that it wasn't, as in your nativity set, the night of Christ's birth. If you didn't know that already, it was definitely some months later that the wise men didn't come to the stable. If you read it again, they came to the house where Mary and Joseph were now residing. But nevertheless, they came. They came following this star, and if you believe some modern technology, there is some evidence that there was an unusual astronomical event happening at this time, that very literally there was an astronomical with stars and planets and so forth aligning themselves, and without getting into all of those details, during this time of Christ's birth, that did settle up over Jerusalem, and very specifically 10 miles south of Jerusalem in Bethlehem. So you know, sometimes we have this idea that we either have faith in God or we believe in math and science. I have a theory that all math and science will eventually prove everything that we believe by faith now. I don't believe them to be in contradiction with one another. There's all kinds of things that people believed, you know, in the 1400s, and they thought it was science that was disproved later by better science. Come on, somebody. They didn't know or understand it. They had to accept it by faith. Come on, are you listening to me? And we keep learning things. And we keep learning things and we keep learning things. And that's just my theory. You don't have to believe that. It's just free information this morning. But it's very interesting that these wise men, when they came bearing specific gifts. Now, it's an interesting thing, gift giving. Some people give gifts better than others. Okay? Some people give gifts according to, let's just say, their own love language or their own interests. Have you ever gotten a gift that more represented the giver than yourself? You know, they gave you something that they would have enjoyed themselves receiving, but they didn't know you, they didn't think about you at all. In other words, if you wanted to buy me a gift, and I'm not suggesting that you should, but if you want to, you know, and you brought to me this very high dollar, very expensive, you know, rod and reel and the tackle to go with it, that would be a very wonderful gift for somebody. But it would be a complete waste of gift giving on me. Now, if you wanted to give me like a $10,000 bicycle so I could go mountain biking up at Crowder State Park, I could probably accommodate you there. You see, when we give gifts, we ought to be thinking about the recipient of the gift and what would be appropriate for them. Amen. You know, you could buy Michelle all kinds of things for cooking and for baking because she's like a gourmet chef and you know, she ought to have her own television program on the Food Network. I can flip eggs and I can make pancakes. Are you listening to me? So something for the kitchen wouldn't fit me. But when the wise men came, they came with three specific gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Let's look at those in reverse order. Myrrh. Myrrh was a gift for one who would die, because myrrh was a perfume used in embalming. Jesus was born so that he could die. And Jesus died so that we could live. And so even when Jesus was being born, isn't it unusual? They brought him myrrh, embalming, you know, solution. I don't know the correct term. It's kind of an unusual gift for a baby. Maybe diapers. You know, maybe a little, you know, onesie or what have you. You know what I'm talking about? But they brought him, you know, this embalming solution. Kind of an unusual gift, unless you know something. Because Jesus was born so that he would die. Aaron read from Romans 8 this morning. Look at that again, Romans chapter 8, verse 34. And we read this: "Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Who can separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean that he no longer loves us? If we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death?" Verse 37, "No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us." Verse 38, "For I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Why is that true? Because Jesus came to die, and He died, He was buried, and He was raised again from the dead so that nothing could ever again separate us from our Heavenly Father. Are you listening to me? They brought Him myrrh, but they also brought Him frankincense. Think about this. I want you to be serious about this for a minute, because the whole world practically celebrates Christmas, and most of the world doesn't know even what they're celebrating except some American, you know, or Western European, you know, gift-giving holiday. And I'm telling you, all over the world, there's Christmas trees and there's Christmas music in Buddhist countries and Hindu countries, and people that travel the world are nodding at me right now. It's the most surreal thing in the world. And all they think about is making money, making money, making money. But if Jesus didn't die, there was no reason for Him to be born. If Jesus didn't come to die for us, to be buried for us, and to be raised again from the dead, there was no purpose at all for Christmas. So we must be reminded today that when the wise men came, they came with this myrrh, but they also came with frankincense, a gift suited for a priest. Again, kind of an unusual gift for a baby. You see, the priest would offer up frankincense with the sacrifices at the golden altar of incense in the holy place. Would you look with me in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 8? Frankincense, it was an incense that was offered up with the prayers in the holy place in the temple. But Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 says, here is the main point. We have a high priest who sat down in the place of honor beside the throne of the majestic God in heaven. There he ministers in the heavenly tabernacle, the true place of worship that was built by the Lord and not by human hands. And since every high priest is required to offer gifts and sacrifices, our high priest must make an offering too. If he were here on earth, he would not even be a priest, since there were already priests who offer gifts required by the law. They serve in a system of worship that is only a copy, a shadow of the real one in heaven. For when Moses was getting ready to build their tabernacle, God gave this warning: be sure that you make everything according to the pattern I have shown you here on the mountain. But now, Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood, for he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God based on better promises. But now, Jesus is a high priest that offers to us a better covenant with God based on better promises. Look at chapter 9 of Hebrews. Hebrews 9, verse 11, just two verses. So Christ has now become the high priest over all good things that have come. He has entered the greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world, but with His own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, He entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. They brought Him frankincense because He is our high priest who offers up Himself a sacrifice, who offers Himself up that our sins would be forgiven. And He does not have to go in over and over and over and over again and offer the sacrifice, but once and for all, Jesus died for us. He rose again from the dead, and He ever lives to make intercession for us in the presence of God. You see, the word for priest in the Latin means a bridge builder. Our high priest is a bridge builder. Jesus Christ, our High Priest, builds a bridge for us, connecting us with our Heavenly Father. We do not have to be separated from God because of our sinfulness, because of our mistakes, because of our indiscretions, because of our negligence. We are connected with God because Jesus, our High Priest, has bridged that gap for us. Hebrews 4, verse 14 is a very powerful verse. So then, since we have a great High Priest who has entered heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This High Priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for He faced all the same testings we do, yet He did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need Him most. They brought Him frankincense because He is our High Priest who has made the way, who has built the bridge so that we could come into the presence of God without guilt, without shame, without embarrassment. We don't need somebody else to stand in the gap for us because Jesus has done that for us. We come into God's presence because He is the High Priest. He's the High Priest of our confession. And we come and confess our sins, and He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from absolutely all unrighteousness. You don't have to stand back in the shadows today. You don't have to shy away from God. You don't have to run away from God. You can run towards Him because Jesus came to make the way for you, because you could not do it yourself. And oh, how we try. And when we fail, that guilt and that condemnation comes to us once more and says, you cannot, Adam, be around God anymore. He's ashamed of you. He's embarrassed by you. You violated Him. He doesn't want to have anything to do with you anymore. And it's not true. God loved us so much that He sent Jesus to us because we could not rescue ourselves. We couldn't make it right ourselves. We keep stepping in it. We keep tripping over it. Come on. We keep making those mistakes repeatedly. But we can come boldly because Jesus is our High Priest. Can you say amen this morning? And they brought Him gold. Gold's a gift fit for a king. The wise men sought the one who was born King of the Jews. Now, in the new year, on Wednesday nights here in the sanctuary, we have some other small group activities going on. But I'm going to be teaching from the book of Revelation. I'm going to give about four different alternative views to the book of Revelation, but one thing that's certain in the book of Revelation is that Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. Look at Revelation chapter 3, if you will. In verse 15, then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices shouting in heaven, the world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders sitting on their thrones before God fell on their faces to the ground and worshipped Him. Look at chapter 19, verse 16. On His robe and at His thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You see, the wise men came bearing gifts. Myrrh spoke of His death. We honor Him because He died for us. Frankincense spoke of His priesthood. And we honor Christ today for building us a bridge to our Heavenly Father. Gold spoke of His royalty. We honor Him as the one who rules in our hearts and who will establish His kingdom on the earth. We remember that He's coming again to rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want us to pause today to remember the wonderful and glorious things that Christ did when He came for us. And I want us to rejoice. And I want us to celebrate. And I want us to enjoy our family. And I want us to enjoy our friends. I want us to enjoy our gift giving. Because we do so. Because the wise men came bearing gifts to Christ. And when we give them, we can give our gifts as unto the Lord Himself. Because Jesus said, whatever you've done unto the least of these, you can do to me. It is a wonderful time to give gifts to somebody that maybe you don't even know. When Michelle and I were celebrating our 33rd wedding anniversary on Friday night, we were out to dinner. And I said, hey, what do you want to do for the tip? She said, let's do something really big. It's Christmas. And, you know, we were talking to the young lady who was a student at the University of Missouri at Kansas City. And she was obviously working even on her Christmas break, and she was from Marshall, and we gave her a nice big tip. I mean, nice big tip. Why? Because the wise men came bearing gifts. And we need to be reminded that God has blessed us. And He's blessed us to be a blessing to other people. You know, it's interesting that there's magi in this story, because this story, this account of Christ coming to the earth is a very particularly Jewish story. All the characters are Jewish people, including the shepherds, most likely, except for these wise men. They came from distant lands. They were Gentiles. Come on, somebody. And they came and worshiped. You know, there's always the person that I meet in life that thinks that God can probably forgive and save other people, but probably not them. Because of what they've done, it's too egregious, it's too horrible. They've run away from God, they knew better, whatever, fill in the blanks. But the Magi remind us, even people far away from God, even people that should have no expectation to be part or included in the story at all, they came. They came and worshiped. They came bearing gifts. They come reminding us that Jesus came. He was born for a purpose of dying. That He came to be our great high priest so that we could be connected with God. And that they came bearing gold, reminding us that He isn't just a baby in the manger, that He's a King and He's Lord. And His kingdoms supersede all other kingdoms. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. And I don't know what your theology is, but I think it's a safer bet to confess Jesus as Savior and Lord in this lifetime than to wait till that day. But when Jesus comes again, the way, at least one or two or three ways to read through the book of Revelation, there will be a great marriage supper of the Lamb, a great celebration, a great banquet. I, for one, believe we don't have to wait till that day to celebrate. We can just jump right in because I'm already a citizen of heaven. How about you? And if your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you've never confessed Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of your life, you've never asked God to forgive you of your sins, then there is not a better time than this Sunday. You will remember it the very rest of your life, that on the Sunday before Christmas, I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. If you want to do that right now, let's all bow our heads together in prayer. Examine yourself for just a moment. And let's make this confession of faith together. Believers and new believers. People that are very close to God and people that are far away from God. Let's confess who Jesus is. Because if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Let's confess Jesus out loud together this morning. Would you repeat this prayer with me? Heavenly Father, I believe in You. Lord Jesus, I believe in You. I believe that You are the Son of God. I believe that You were born of the Virgin Mary. You came into our world to show us God. We have now seen God because we have seen You. We believe that You lived a sinless life. But You died on the cross for my sins, so that I could be forgiven. I believe that You were buried, but on the third day You rose again from the dead. I want to be with You in the resurrection of the dead. So I choose today to follow You, to give my life to You. I want You to be part of my life. Forgive me for my sins, for my mistakes, the things that I should have done, that I didn't do, the things that I did that I should not have done. Thank You for forgiving me. Come into my life. Rule and reign in my heart and in every area of my life. I will follow You. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer for maybe the first time, then we really need to talk to you right after the service. You need to tell somebody that you made that confession of faith today, because Jesus said, if you confess Me before men, I'll confess you before the Father. But if you deny Me, I'll deny you. Or if you've been very far away from God and you find yourself in the house of God today, back in church, and you really need to get started back with God today, then you come and we'll pray with you also. For everybody else, we hope to see you. We wish to see you on Christmas Eve. Our opinion, best service we do all year long. It's very quiet. It's dim with just candlelights and dimly lit atmosphere. We'll sing Christmas carols together. We have some special music. We'll read the entire account of Christ's birth from the Bible to you. We'll have communion together, and we conclude our service by singing Silent Night together. We go out, we enjoy a birthday party for Jesus for those that can stay, and just enjoy our church family, and we'd love to have you come. That's at 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve. If you prayed to receive Jesus today, or you prayed to get your life back to God today, would you come up and talk to me after the service? Everybody else, if I don't see you before, Merry Christmas.